niggas. You know what I'm saying? If you hear this, I want you to bump this and do your dirt, dog. Do your dirt. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to those who set me free. Got a buzz, you're always my cuz. Radium, if I could only say to them thanks. Callisto, you know, Utopia, and all my digital dogs. My net dons, my cyber gangsters, my wire warriors, my computer comrades. This is for you. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. I wouldn't be able to do shit without y'all, man. I'd be sitting in front of my fucking computer doing a goddamn thing, playing games. Y'all made it possible.
Okay, this is Stank Dog, and in case you can't tell, you might notice that I'm actually standing in the middle of Hurricane Gene. We'll have to excuse the sound. It's a little rough, and there's some wind swirling around me. Okay, actually, I guess we're not really in a hurricane. Actually, that was a simulated hurricane there by my co-host this week, none other than Lucky Deuce Deuce Cinco.
That's right, Lucky Double Deuce 5.
And Double Deuce, Double D.
That's right.
Got to have the double D's.
I am not double D.
Yes, you are. Come on.
That's Kevin Rose's little co-host.
That's
so
your
please, I do not want to be confused with double D.
Have a sip of iced tea there now that I just walked back inside from that hurricane. Okay, anyway, joking aside, let's see. This is episode 64 of Binary Revolution Radio coming to you. Shut up. 9/28/2004. Lucky is going to stop blowing into the microphone any second now. And we are going to actually try to get on with the serious show here. Now, again, another freaking hurricane aimed right for my front door. So we're recording this late. Actually, we're recording this pretty much, by the time we're done, it will be the day of the show. So it doesn't get much more timely than this, or up to date. And actually, I'm going to open up with a rant, if I may.
Before you open up with this rant, I would like to interject.
Go ahead.
You know, I find it real funny, Stank.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
When, you know, a couple months ago, we were having a conversation about, like, why you lived in Florida, and I'm like, and you're like, well, I'm not going to live in Cali because there's earthquakes out there. And I'm like, you know what? A hurricane is a lot worse than an earthquake. You're like, oh, we rarely get them.
Well, it's a busy year. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Hey, I've lived...
Well, we rarely get them. We've only had four this year.
I've been down here 7 years or so now. The longest I've ever lived in one place, actually, I think. And these two that we've had this year are probably the two worst ones since I've been down here, at least as far as I'm concerned, because they directly came right at literally right at me. So I haven't really had any problems. And frankly, they didn't really cause me too many problems. I mean, I was out without power for a few days. This second one, I didn't lose power. My power fluctuated 5 or 6 times. It spiked a couple times, so I had to turn everything off just in case. I didn't want to blow anything up. But other than that, my cable and internet stuff went out for maybe 24 hours. It was back up the next morning, Sunday. So it really wasn't so bad. I mean, a little bit of rain. Yes, some people got damaged, but me personally, I really didn't. It was not such a big deal to me.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but you lost days from work, didn't you?
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well... I mean, yeah, your electricity, your cable internet, all that went out for only a couple of hours, but if you can't go to work to make money to pay those bills...
I get paid either way.
I'm just, well, you're on salary, but...
Well?
Saying.
I was going to say, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well.
And actually, it's I did have to go in that following weekend to work and make up for some of the time that we lost, so, you know, it all works out. It's not such a, you know, that's the way it goes. Life in the big city.
Guess that's the way it goes.
Hey, at least I don't have gangbangers shooting it, crossfire between me, and mudslides, and earthquakes, and the whole state's going to fall off into the ocean.
Look, the state's not going to fall off into the ocean.
Oh, come
pieces
on.
Of it, maybe.
Yeah.
The whole state is not just going to float off into the ocean.
The whole state's just going to sink underwater. It's just going to go sploosh, and then the next thing you know, it's going to be like Nevada is on the coast or something.
Shut up.
That's right.
God.
Sick balls, Chopper. Sick balls.
Anyway,
my little rant is on this hurricane thing. Like, I heard this on the radio from two or three different companies. Two that I can think of distinctly, and I don't know if I'm going to drop docs on them or not. But, I heard these radio commercials, and I have seen a couple television commercials. Again, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but these companies, like, well, one of them's a furniture store, okay? This furniture store comes on the radio with this commercial sounding all somber and all, you know, quiet and stuff about, oh, we're all neighbors in Florida. The hurricane has ravaged us. That's why we're bringing in double our inventory so you can save. What the hell has that got to do? They make it like they're doing you some kind of big favor. Oh, these troubled times, we're going to increase inventory and give you financing for 2 years on we're bringing in as much furniture as we can. I'm sorry, I don't really see where that's helping a whole lot. I think furniture is the last thing on someone's mind whose house has been destroyed or something like that. Second of all, they're selling furniture and financing, get the same deals they have whether there's a hurricane or not. So don't make it sound like you're doing somebody a big freaking favor because you're bringing in more furniture. You're trying to get sales. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
You know? And a tire company, a tire store, saying that they're having sales on all their tires to help the community. What the? Are you on crack? Do you think we're dumb?
Hey, those are all-terrain, water-resistant tires.
Oh, well, that's... You tell the people that are standing out in front of their house with their kids crying, with their mobile home in shambles or whatever, that you're going to have new tires for them. I'm sure that'll just cheer them right the heck up. I caught myself on that one. Right the heck up.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, yeah. They're trying to capitalize, trying to sound like they're all sympathetic and, oh, we're all about the community and blah, blah, generating these sales and making more money under this false pretense that they're somehow helping the hurricane victims. Give me a break. Come on. If they sold stuff at cost, no profit, like somehow we could confirm that, first of all, they'd lie about that. They were selling it at no profit, absolutely, or donate money to victims of the hurricane or something like that. That would be different. That I could see. They're not doing that. They're having a sale. They do it every Sunday anyway, and the Sunday ads and stuff. They do it on special occasions and stuff like that. To them, a hurricane is nothing but a sales event.
Well, I understand that, and unfortunately, that's how corporate America is. I mean, in case you weren't aware...
Oh, I'm well aware, but it still makes me mad.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, after September 11th, that was another capitalization there, too.
Huh.
Every store, you would see them, they'd hang a flag out, or they'd put a little American flag on the side of their door. You know what? That's just to drag you in, like, oh, well, this store's cool because, you know, they support America, so we should just shop from them.
Well, I don't know. Some of that could stem from being from pride or something like that, too. I mean, that one I could see a little bit.
Well, you know what? Every time I went in the grocery store like that, they'd also have plastic flags, plastic American flags, right up at the, like, right when you're about to, you know, bring your shopping cart up.
Right, well, that's
They got the they have the impulse sales where they got candy and everything, and they'd also have an American flag.
Well, now that's absolutely true. What?
Flag companies were just capitalizing on people's deaths.
Yeah, that's
how I feel about it.
That's absolutely true. I don't know about where you're at, but... down here, right, soon thereafterwards, there were people out in the corners of the street in the intersections selling flags literally out of the back of their pickup trucks and stuff on the street corners. They were every time the light would turn red, they would walk down the middle holding up the flag and a sign that says $10, $20, whatever, you know. So they were definitely capitalizing on that.
Yeah, you know what, and I'm sorry, but I don't have anything against the flag or anything like that. I mean, I think it's cool to show your pride.
Right.
I just think that they were just capitalizing on people's death.
I'm sure some people.
How I feel about it.
I'm sure some people were, a lot of people were, but at the same time, a lot of people didn't want to show their pride in some way, so I guess it gave them an outlet. So it's kind of a give and take, I guess. But yeah, I mean, your point is very well taken. And, you know, the bottom line is it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about making that money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this happened also during the Cold War and everything. They'd have a, you know, you couldn't shop at a store unless it had a certain symbol, like, in the window, you know? Otherwise, it might be communist.
I don't know if I ever heard of that one or fell for that one.
Well, go back and read your history. You'll see they've done this throughout history. I mean,
sorry, man. I'm looking to the future. History is in the past. It's all behind me. I am keeping an eye to the future.
Yeah. Well, history repeats itself over and over.
Yeah. Right. Whatever.
And that's how these capitalist bastards are making their money.
Well, I guess from that we should move. Oh, no, I have a quick announcement before we move into the email. Actually, kind of a little early. We'll remind you later on as it gets closer, but just a heads up that we will not be airing a show. This will probably be the first week that we actually miss an episode of Binary Revolution Radio. We will not air a show on election night, which, according to some sources, is November 2nd, the first Tuesday of November, I think... Somebody please email me if I'm incorrect about that, but I believe that's going to be November 2nd, the first Tuesday of November. Rant Radio is going to be streaming live during the election, and our show and Quarter Circle Forward, I believe, also, I think the two of us are going to be somewhat preempted, as they say. So we will probably do a show that week, but it will be up on the site downloadable only. We might work something out to stream on Rant Radio like that Wednesday or something instead of Tuesday, so it might be a day delay. We'll probably still do one, because I do kind of like having that streak going where we haven't missed a show, so we'll probably still do one, but the logistics have yet to be worked out, so we will announce it officially when we figure that out.
So when you get preempted, are you going to have to email the program manager?
Actually, he emailed me and requested, and said I didn't have to, but he would appreciate it, so I thought I'd do the nice thing and say, yes, absolutely, I'll support the channel, and then they want to do live election coverage, I'm absolutely cool with that. And I am.
Okay.
So, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
There are other things that I do not agree with, but that's a whole nother story. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to just go ahead and play our email theme music and segue into the email. And our first email tonight, actually our only email that we're going to read tonight, is from a longtime listener, a good friend of Binary Revolution Radio, Pixel Fiend, who writes in, Stank, just wanted to drop a note of thanks to you and Knot Theory for your excellent show a few weeks ago on PBXs and Asterisk. I have to admit that up until now I have known exactly nothing about phones, but had been curious about what Asterisk was and how it worked. Well, let me interrupt for a minute and say, I don't know anything about phones either. Everything that I know about phones I learned from Dual Parallel, from the Deuce here, Lucky, and Doug, actually, and Decoder. So everything I know has been learning from those guys, so you're not alone on that, first of all. Now, back to continue. I downloaded episode 60 and listened to it at work, listened to it again on the way home, and decided I had to give Asterisk a try. Another project, damn it. I had just by chance picked up three old P3 boxes that morning. I was listening to the show for a third time while I was installing Slack on one of the computer machines and had the Asterisk source downloaded and installed by midnight. After working on a problematic sound card and playing with Also for a few days, I could say something there, but I'm not going to, Also. I got everything up and running and began learning about configuration and setting up the PBX. I got a VoicePulse account and have been playing with it for about a week. Now, here's the coolest thing. Total cost for everything involved was $28, including the VoicePulse connection.
Nice.
That is leet. How amazing is that to hear a PBX set up for $28? And we'll come back to that, as a matter of fact. One note of caution, and this is also, Pixel Fiend's always really good about giving us something really useful in warnings and heads up about stuff. One note of caution for anyone setting this up. Emails from VoicePulse with directions for connecting Asterisk to their service are not quite accurate. There were subtle changes made for customers connecting after September 1st relating to my_device_login that are outlined in the sample IAX.conf file and extension.conf file, which are available for download from VoicePulse. Emails sent from VoicePulse have you set up the service the old way, which may cause problems. If you download the sample conf files and work from them, everything works well. I still haven't decided what exactly I'll finally do with this project, but it's been a hell of a lot of fun so far. I have to say that I'm blown away by what you can do with Asterisk, and I am too. I'm learning more every day and have only scratched the surface of the dial plan configuration. The more I learn, the more elaborate my plans for the dial plan seem to get. Even my 4-year-old was having fun with it, dialing through the menus and listening to the funny messages I'd set up for him. I'd love to hear a follow-up show for some of the higher-end functionality and scripting possibilities. Hint, hint. Now, first of all, $28, dude! And, okay, now here, and this is the thing I want people to realize. Not Theory and I talked about this. Not Theory went through details of exactly step-by-step. And, yeah, we even said you might have to listen to it a couple times and follow along and listen. But it was true. I know people think that we come on the show and we're just, you know, I know hackers have this whole thing about, they're diehard Linux and they're all going to defend everything for open source and everything. You know what? We do it because it's true. And here we have a listener who applied what we talked about and can verify that what we said is true. This person, Pixel Fiend, did exactly what we suggested and got this box up and running. And someone who admittedly did not have a lot of experience about phones and the phone system, from that show, got a box up and running, installed, and working with the connection for $28. You have to give some credit for that.
Yep.
So, mad shouts out to Pixel Fiend for that.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
And, yeah, that's what we hope to do, not only with that show, but in all of our shows. Every show that we do, for the most part, we try to structure it in such a way that people can follow along step by step if it's something that we're talking about. Sometimes it's not a how-to like that, but every topic we try to go from the very fundamental basics and work our way up through a topic, or if we are doing a how-to or a demonstration or something like that, we try to follow and lead you along so that you can listen at home and try things. You know, that's kind of the way I try to always structure the show, at least whenever we can. No matter what the topic is, I try to keep that flow to it, but I guess sometimes you swing and you knock it out of the park, and sometimes you drive one foul into the fans. What can I tell you? sometimes you hit a little kid in the front row with a 120-mile-an-hour fastball fouled off. Anyway, boy, that was a gruesome image. That was not very pleasant image.
No, it sure wasn't. The technology show, not a baseball show.
I know, but I came up with a weird metaphor, and it, I don't know, what can I tell you? Sometimes you hit the ball out of the... No, never mind. And actually, I did speak to Not Theory about doing a follow-up episode sometime in the future, so we will work on trying to put that together. Again, when we're talking this much detail and the how-to stuff like that, really a lot of work goes into putting a show together like that to keep the flow going and keep the show filled and not too dry and boring at the same time. So that, those are tough. So sometime in the near future, next month or two, but not right away. So, but we have talked about it, and we are planning to do exactly that. So hopefully by then you'll be able to send us some good information too there, Pixel Fiend. You may be well into it by then. Now, that's all for the email here. I'm kind of a little under the weather. I don't know if my voice is sounding like it, but I'm not feeling too well, actually. So I got my nice iced tea here. So why don't we go into the show and tell, and I'm going to kick it over to Lucky to start off with the personal hacking stories. What have you been working on lately? I know you've been published again. Why don't you talk about that while I have a nice sip of soothing, sweet iced tea.
And I love how you always just put the spotlight right on me with no commentary because you're drinking right now.
What? I just... What? Is that a bad thing? You should have the spotlight on you. You should be proud to have something published, man. That's awesome. That's very cool. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, but... yes, I have been published.
Media whore.
Yeah.
No, do you know what? Joke... You know what? I'm going to stand up right here and defend you right here on the show. We say that, I say that to you as a joke, of course you know that. Other people that say that, I assume, are probably joking too, but you know what? Don't hate. Seriously, don't hate on somebody because they get published or because they get some stuff out there. You know what? That's petty, that's all that is. That's just somebody hating because they haven't been published or they haven't gotten accomplished anything, stuff like that. So, I give you a round of applause for getting this published in a very serious magazine, a serious article, you know, not just you know.
This magazine that we're referring to is geared toward business and corporate executives and CEOs and CFOs and people like that. And the magazine called Vaughn Magazine, which Vaughn is V-O-N, stands for Voice Over Net. I don't believe they have any relationship to Vonage.
Are you sure?
It's yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because it sounds like Vonage.
I know. Everyone thinks Vaughn Magazine has to do with Vonage.
It's the first three letters of Vonage. I mean, it has to be about Vonage. It's probably made by the same people as Vonage.
No, it's created by Pulver, actually. You know, the guy who does Free World Dial-Up.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, that's who publishes this magazine.
That's the same guy that makes Vonage?
He's not the same guy that makes Vonage.
Go ahead, I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
Jesus Christ. Anyways. This magazine's published by Pulver, and I don't know, it's a pretty good magazine. It talks about voice over IP and where it's going and the future of it and, you know, stuff like that, stuff that businessy people would read, I guess.
Businessy?
Yeah.
Businessy? Did you just make up a word? Businessy people. All right, ladies and gentlemen, businessy people read this magazine. You heard it here first.
That's right. Businessy people freaking the kids off you.
Kizoffi, oh, jeez. And what was your article, what was your article about?
Well, my article was on voice over IP security. Basically, just I just touched on the basics that I touched on at DEF CON, you know, caller ID spoofing, revealing blocked caller ID, you know, just basically things of that nature, and how voice over IP is not the culprit in the security flaws. It's usually the voice over IP providers that give the end users too much power, basically. You know, the power to reveal unblocked, or, you know, to unblock caller, blocked caller ID numbers, and the power to just make your phone number whatever you want. That's all the provider is allowing the end user to do this. And
not your typical end user, though.
Yes, regular consumers like you and me.
Hmm.
I mean, voice?
We're not exactly regular consumers. I mean, let's be honest here.
Well, no. I'm saying Voice Pulse, for example, I mean, they allow you to spoof caller ID through their call screening options. You don't even need hardware or equipment or anything. You do it all through their website. The little call forwarding feature, and you can spoof your caller ideas whatever you want. And actually, I was going to bring this up later, but I guess I'll bring it up now. I was going to talk about this service called IP Call that I heard about recently. And that's IPKALL, call with a K.
Okay, what is that?
This service allows you to obtain a Seattle, Washington phone number that forwards to your Free World dial-up number. And as you guys may know, you can use Free World dial-up with the Sapura device that, you know, VoicePulse offers the Sapura, and you can just put Free World dial-up on your second line. And basically, anyone who calls the Seattle, Washington number will get forwarded over to your Free World dial-up number. And whether or not your caller ID is blocked, it'll still show up on the caller ID. So you can give out the Seattle, Washington number to all your friends, and whether or not they're blocking caller ID, you'll always see who's calling. And this is a free service. And Free World dial-up is also free, too, so you don't even have to pay money for this.
That's, kind of scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. I just found out about it recently. I talked to someone on one of the party lines out there, and they were telling me about this service called IP Call that gives you a phone number in Seattle, Washington. I just wanted it because I thought it was cool that you could get an actual phone number that redirects to your Free World dial-up extension. And then I noticed, because we have complete caller ID blocking on our line, I noticed that when I called up the phone number, it still showed my phone number on the caller ID on the incoming call. I was like, whoa, leap. Hmm.
So do you want to give credit to somebody who told you that information, or is it on the down low?
Well, I don't know if they would like their information released or if they're the person who found it. It was just, the service was mentioned to me. It's a free service. It's public information, so I'll just leave that person, I'll grant their privacy at this time.
All right, sounds like a plan.
But yeah, man, so I mean, again, voice over IP is not the culprit here. It's the service providers that are giving too much power to their end users.
Well, is there such a thing as too much power? Shouldn't the end user have power and control over the service that they're getting?
Well, I suppose, but I'm just saying, like I mentioned in my article in Vaughn Magazine, I mean, in 1995, the ACLU, protested against caller ID, you know, because, you know, people shouldn't have their phone number available just because they're placing a phone call. They should be able to block their number, and that's why they protested it. And so after the ACLU protested, the phone companies finally gave in. FCC made a mandate that the phone companies have to offer a service so that you can block your number when placing phone calls.
For a fee?
No, for free. It's regulated. It has to be for free. Star 67 and Complete Call Block are both free services. And the thing about it is that they said, okay, but for toll-free numbers, the toll-free number should still be able to receive your phone number because they get billed for it, you know, based on where the call was placed from. So the FCC let that slide. But now you're calling up regular toll numbers like this toll number in Seattle.
Right.
It'll ring my Free World dial-up number, and I'll see your caller ID whether or not you're blocking it. And that's sort of 10 years ago, you know, almost 10 years ago, the ACLU was protesting caller ID for the same reason.
Now, do we know how this happens or what causes it to work?
Basically, your CPN is transmitted on every single call, whether or not it's blocked. There's a little tag in the call setup that says whether or not to reveal the number to the end user. But VoIP services, such as this IP call, because they use VoIP, It's not regulated by the FCC. There's no regulation in VoIP right now. So they don't have to submit to those rules.
Yeah,
they can just reveal the CPN right to the end user.
I'm surprised there aren't a lot more of these is what I'm saying, though.
Well, there are. I mean, they got those K7 voicemail boxes where even if you block your caller ID to the voicemail, it'll still stay in there, you know?
Hmm.
There's all kinds of stuff that's going on, especially IAX providers. You know, some of the IAX providers out there will reveal CPN to the end user, and you can just pull it up in your Astros logs.
Well, all the more reason to spoof.
Yeah, right? All the more reason to spoof. Well, and my whole point is, why did we even bother with this caller ID technology? If we're going to be able to spoof it, and we're going to be able to unblock or, you know, unveil private numbers, like, it shouldn't even exist. It should just be your phone rings, you answer it, you don't like the person, you hang up. That's how it's been for over 100 years. Then somebody said, oh, we should use this for great caller ID technology for call screening. Well, guess what? Call screening doesn't work. It never has. It never will.
Yeah, but see, what if they implemented this tomorrow? What are the freaks of the world going to do?
What are
you spend
about?
So much time figuring these type of things out and researching which ones do this and do that. And if we just take all those features away, what's left?
Basic phone. That's all you need anyways.
Well, I don't know. It sounds kind of boring to me, but hey. I guess that's an interesting...
You don't have... Look, Stink, you don't have caller ID on your landline.
I don't have anything on my landline.
Your phone rings, you pick it up, just like a normal person, right?
Well, I don't know how normal I am, but yeah, I pick it up. Well, sometimes I'll screen the calls on the answering machine.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, I'll pick it up. I'll say, fuck off, leave me alone if I don't want to talk to you. Or I'll record the telemarketing calls and put them on the telephonic craptacular. Or I'll answer it and talk to whoever it is.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. If you want to, if you really are having suspicions and you want to screen your calls, use an answer machine, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's the only way you can do it.
Yep. Sometimes I just ignore it completely, though. I just unplug the answer machine, I just let the phone ring. I locked somebody's phone up for about a day and a half yesterday, but that's not a story for the air.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about, too.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a couple things I've been working on the past week, even though... Actually, the hurricane gave me... Since I turned my systems off because of the hurricane and stuff,
Well, you didn't let me go into the rest of my show and tell them.
Go ahead, please, by all means. Man, you got a lot of show and tell.
That's right. Remember, I'm also a moderator now on the Lab Mistress Forum. I got a little forum on there called Telephonic Tappings because people were talking about VoIP and cell phones and stuff like that. They didn't know exactly which topic they should put it in, so Darcy made me the moderator of the telephony topic, and yeah, go check it out. I only have two rules on that part of the forum.
What?
I had a...
Wait a minute now. How can you put rules on your forum? Didn't you yell at me and tell me that I was stifling free speech because I had rules on my site? A long time ago, did we not get into this and you said you and Tron, I'm a big fascist because I have rules on the site?
Well, actually, you know what? I didn't want to make any rules, but Darcy actually forced me to make rules.
And do you know why?
Because she cannot deal with the liability issues.
There you go. There you go. So what are your two rules?
I think rule number one was, like, follow the general rule of the forum.
That's kind of a vague rule.
And rule number two was basically, do not by any means or cost discuss telecom fraud or specifically how to do it.
Well, that's a good general rule of thumb anyway.
Yeah, I had a rule number three.
Don't mess with the dog pound.
It involved somebody who uses the word kloobie a lot, but Darcy wouldn't let me put that rule on.
Okay, gotcha. Enough said, a little inside joke there. Well, not exactly as inside as you might think. All right. Is that all of your media... is that all of your hacking stories, or... Did you have something else?
I believe so.
You believe that's the end, or you believe you have something else?
I believe that's it.
Okay.
I think that's all I got for right now.
All right. Well, I have a couple little things. Because I had to turn my computers off again with the hurricane and the power fluctuating, I got a little time to get some hardware work done. And I was redoing a couple boxes here in the hack center here in the lab, the hack cave, whatever you want to call it.
The lab. The laboratory, huh? Like lab mistress?
Dude, I got a Dell. I bought a refurbished Dell. I needed a new box to do video editing for Hack TV. My old box just kept choking, kept dying anytime I try to edit big files, and these files in raw DV format are, like, enormous. I mean, an hour, I think, was like 15 gigs or somewhere thereabouts, 12 to 15 gigs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they get really large, and when you try to edit them, it needs a lot of memory and a lot of CPU power, and the box I was running, I thought should have been able to handle it. It was an XP2000, an Athlon XP2000 with 512 of RAM. It should have been able to handle it, I would think, but it could not. So I also had another project I wanted to do, and that was to put together a file server. I want to put a box together with a bunch of hard drives in it, and I mentioned I bought a terabyte of storage. I bought another terabyte of storage since then, putting them all into one box. Going to set up a RAID 5 array and have one central location where all my files are stored and have everything map and connect to that server. So I took the old Athlon 2000 box, and I'm going to make that into the file sharing box. And the Dell that I just got, which is a P4 3 gigahertz, is now going to become, eventually, my video editing machine. So, get Hack TV footage going and flowing again soon. So, that's kind of been what I've been working on. Again, the...
Are we going to film anything, by the way, Stink? Not a freak, Nick?
I'm sure we're going to do something. You said we're going to do a little field freaking, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Do a little field freaking, and I'm sure we'll come up with some other stuff between now and then. I'm sure we'll come up with some good impromptu stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, plus it depends on who we run into. We might have to get some other people involved. I know there are a couple people we're specifically going to bump into up there, so we'll see how it all works out. I'm sure we'll get some stuff done. Because you are confirmed, right? We're going.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you made the most asinine plans for the weekend, travel plans.
Hey. But
anyway.
I do what I do.
That's right. That's right. You always have, and you always will.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's
I
it.
Get five and I do what I want.
I do what I want. Hack TV is moving slowly, so, yeah. Oh, and you know, on this new box, I figured what the hell, I would go ahead. This is, of course, a Windows box that I do my video editing in. I say, of course, because that's the only way I know how to do video editing, and most people I've talked to, no one's ever spoken about doing video editing on anything other than Windows or a Mac, which I definitely can't afford that. So, this box I went ahead and installed Service Pack 2 on. So, I did not install that on my work machine. I didn't install that on my other Windows box here at home. So, and my first time using Windows XP Service Pack 2. And
fun.
It wasn't quite as bad as I had thought. The other reason I was willing to do it was because it was a fresh install. It was a fresh Dell box with everything new, no extra software installed yet, other than the crap that it comes with. Free AOL 6 months. Woohoo! Yippee! So once I deleted that stuff and uninstalled that stuff, I went ahead and put Service Pack 2 on, knowing that it wouldn't break anything because there's nothing there to break. So I did, and it actually has, you know, it's a step in the right direction. It has some features on it. It, more tightly integrates the firewall. It adds integration. It looks like it did not work too well with Norton Antivirus. I believe the Dell system came with a free 3 months or 6 months of Norton Antivirus subscription. It didn't integrate with that too well, but it looks like it was made or designed to try to integrate with your antivirus vendor and tie it in so that it will automate the scans and it will monitor and watch scanning and stuff like that. So it looks like it's a step in the right direction. It's trying some new things. However, again, it doesn't. If it's really breaking software, like we've seen so many reports of, that's not cool. So even with the good things that it added, and again, a step in the right direction, it still looks like it's fallen a little bit short. And most companies still are not rolling that out yet. Most of them are still holding off until they've, you know, done the research. Apparently, there's a list. There's our lists out there, I should say, plural, of software packages with known problems, known bugs with Service Pack 2. And where I work, we have a very, very wide variety of software in play at any given time. So until they can go through and figure out which software is going to be affected, whether there are upgrades to it, what it, they can do to fix them, et cetera, they're just not going to deploy Service Pack 2 until it's safe to do so. And that's what a lot of companies are doing. Other than that, I did some reading this weekend as well. I read through Ilanka's Kryptos presentation, actually from DEF CON 12, I believe it was. Did you sit in on that? Did you,
What, are you kidding me?
Did you make any presentations other than your own?
No.
No, you noob. Well, it was very, very interesting. She had her slideshow up, and I went through her entire slideshow. Very, very interesting stuff. Lots of cool pictures. Something I'd been meaning to read up on for a while anyway. Kryptos Project. Just really, really an interesting read. I can't recommend it enough. If you go to Ilanka.com, Elonka, you can find the presentation as well as a lot of other stuff that she's been working on, some cool projects. And I finished a presentation. I actually did this late last night. I finished a presentation for my 2600 meeting. It's going to be a short presentation of possibly a longer presentation I'm hoping to present at some upcoming conference. I haven't decided when or where yet, so it may even end up at Freaknik if they need a fill-in or something, or somebody can't make it. I'll be prepared maybe to fill in there with it, but I don't know if I have that, the long version, done by then. But anyway, short presentation for my 2600 meeting, give it a kind of a trial and have some people start demoing our new project. And that's been about it for me. Obviously, mentioned the 2600 meeting, they're coming up this Friday. So
I'm going to have to retract, actually, on one of my statements there, dog.
Uh-oh, what are we retracting?
I did a 10-1 presentation on voice over IP.
Okay, besides your own.
The Net2Phone one on restructuring a voice over IP conversation.
You didn't go to the civil disobedience or whatever it was?
No. I saw that. I did see that presentation, though. I downloaded the video.
Yes, I did as well, and that was fun. That was funny. That was a good... Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. That was interesting.
Very interesting.
Interesting, that's the word for it.
Yes.
Interesting. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, what a terrible time to segue into this topic also. God, what a terrible segue into today's topic, which is internet crime. From civil to electronic disobedience or whatever the hell he called it. Internet crime. I actually had this story sent to me from M2 Mike, longtime friend of the show. Sent me an interesting email after he listened to our episode with Sub-Zero and I a few weeks ago on cyber law. And we were talking about jurisdiction, and that he thought about us, sent us this article, you know, thinking about jurisdiction. And what this is, it's from the AP Press, and it's a report about a meeting that is going on, I guess it was going on now in past tense. It's a 3-day Council of Europe meeting in Strasbourg, France, to get governments worldwide to accelerate ratification of the Council's 2001 Cybercrime Convention, the first international treaty to combat internet crimes. And apparently it has a lot of support from several countries. One person said, quote, "While fraud and copyright infringements account for most internet crimes, my main concern would be a terrorist attack on computer systems that control power plants or financial institutions." He said there is an impossibility in enforcing national laws on crimes committed on the internet. Gee, no shit, Sherlock. Have we been saying that from episode 1 on this show? that it's impossible to do that? That's exactly what I say. How many times that the internet is global, the global interweb, we say that joke? You can't go across, you know, it's hard enough going across states finding stuff sometimes, but cross country, you can't enforce laws from one country on another one. Especially when they may be completely polar opposites of each other. I mean, it's just a ridiculous notion. However, the fact that he acknowledges that is a cool thing to me. I really think that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll actually make some strides, make some differences and changes in an intelligent way to defend against fraud, which, you know, again, has nothing to do with hacking. Completely two separate subjects. You know, fraud is illegal and not condoned or endorsed by Binary Revolution Radio. Okay? So, I think it's cool that they're going to try to come up with a way to defend against fraud, however, not infringing on our civil liberties, which is unfortunately the problem that they're doing now. Every time they pass one of these laws, they take away more of our rights. And that's the problem in the United States anyway. Passing these global things like this Patriot Act and DMCA and taking away fair use, taking away, you know, consumer rights and stuff like that. So hopefully this doesn't turn into a global DMCA, which would be scary. Hopefully they'll do this in an intelligent way and work together to come up with a compromise using other countries' morals and values and beliefs merging with ours. Maybe they'll actually bring us down to reality somewhat. You think, is that totally naive? Is that unrealistic to believe that?
Probably. You know, Bush has 57% support right now. Well, Kerry only has 38.
How about Nader?
Haven't looked at that factor yet.
God, I wish we didn't have a two-party system. But hey, don't turn this political. This is not a political show. This is a tech show. We're going back into this, damn it. Even though this is loosely tech-related, you know, but there is because there's some statistics coming up, and long-time listeners know I'm a bit of a statistics nut. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the thing, I think that the simple fact that they acknowledge that there's a problem, isn't that like Alcoholics Anonymous or one of those 12-step programs or something? The first step is acknowledging that you have a problem. You know, that's the first step, and the United States doesn't do that very well. They've never acknowledged it. They just think they're going to take control and just lay down this iron fist, lay down the law, and not understand the problem in an intelligent way. So I'm hopeful for this. I'm hopeful that they will do the right thing. Maybe naively so, I admit. But now, as I clear my throat on the air, which is bad radio, some statistics from this council that I wanted to talk about. Let me see how I am on time here. Yeah, I think we're all right. I want to go through as many of these statistics as I can and talk about some of them because I found them interesting and I hope some others do as well. The first one says, in Germany, internet crimes account for 1.3% of all recorded crimes. Okay, internet crimes are only 1.3% of all recorded crimes in Germany, but they account for 57% or $8.3 billion of material damage caused by the crime. Only 1.3 of them are actually, quote, internet crimes, but they account for well over half of material damage. Now, how does that work? See, the first thing, anytime I see numbers like this, and this is just something, I don't know if it's with experience or common sense, but anytime you see numbers drop like this, the first thing you got to ask is, how did you come up with this number? How were these numbers derived? What is the formula? What's the equation? How did you arrive at these numbers? You know, what is the definition of material damage? Who defines material damage? One person's definition may be different than someone else's. Does the company define it? Does the government define it? I think if we have a jury of our peers, that the jury of our peers should define what it is. You know, because the government's going to come up and make up a number like, oh, I don't know, say $250,000 worth of damage to do something. when a jury of our peers, people who know how the system works, tech people who realize that it doesn't cost $250,000 to, say, change passwords or something like that. We know that it only takes, 3 days, a few dollars, you know, however much you want to pay salary for people. Oh, let's call it $20,000 at the most, and be honest. You smell what I'm cooking here?
Where have I heard a story like that before, Snake?
That's what I'm saying. When you drop numbers like this, it's very important to define or to know what the definition of those numbers is. And unfortunately, they do not give us that. Simply saying that 1.3 of all crimes are internet crimes, but they account for over half of it, tells me that there's probably some exaggeration going on in those numbers. And this is in Germany, not the United States. The United States, we know it, we talk about it all the time, we see it. But I guess that's something that is global, that is worldwide, that is universal. So that's a little scary. All right, am I way off on that? I mean, are you with me on this or what?
Yeah, I'm with you on that, definitely.
Right?
That's a little outrageous to be over 50% of the damages caused by internet, but only 1%.
Yeah, and they use their exact phrase is material damage. Now, what material damage? I mean, did somebody break a window? That's material damage, right? What's material damage? I mean, that's a strange word to use, first of all, material damage. I'm sitting here trying to think of how they could possibly define it, and I can't think of anything. It must be such a global, everything must fall under material damage.
Yeah, probably, I mean, RMRFing a drive, I mean, I guess that's material damage, and I guess if software or whatever the data was stored on that drive has a certain value, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess, again, if their focus is, and should be, hopefully it is, fraud. Let's say that, you know, eBay, and people that are selling merchandise that's either stolen or non-existent or pirated or just illegal or whatever, and they're being busted for fraud. Maybe every time they do that, they add the value of the merchandise as part of the material damage. Could that be what drives the number up so much?
That very well could be, and there are a lot of eBay scammers going on right now that hijack in the eBay accounts and, list in the, you'll see this a lot on eBay when you try and look for something really expensive, and you see it at a nice cheap price, and then you go and you look in the description, and it says, if you have any questions, please do not use the contact seller option. I cannot currently get into my email address. Email me here.
Actually, that's kind of a good segue into the next statistic they dropped. And not so much a statistic, it's just a statement. It said, a fast-rising crime worldwide is phishing. Emails that appear to be from banks and other financial institutions asking customers for their credit card details. Sound familiar? Acidus, myself, we talked about this on the show recently. Phishing, what it is. Very low... low barriers to entry in the phishing market. Anybody can make up a phishing email and send it out to people. But that is on the rise, so very timely that we talked about that. Now this one, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this one. Websites promoting racism, hatred, and violence have risen 300% since 2000. That's supposed to say a typo on my part. Since 2000. Most are hosted in the United States, but many may originate in Europe. Now, I'm curious what your reaction to that is.
What do you want my reaction to be? I mean,
It doesn't matter what I want it to be. I want to know. Okay, let me just come out and say.
Well, what do you expect?
I'm sorry?
What do you expect? I mean, I don't promote racism, but.
But
I'm not against these people having their own site and promoting their own free speech.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear you say. That's exactly the way I feel. Exactly the way I feel about it. I wanted to know if you were going to say the same thing. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one person's views or opinions, and if they want to promote it or or give their insight on how they feel, then by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's so important that, like, and again, don't get me wrong, we're not condoning the hatred or the messages of some of these sites in any way, shape, or form, but I acknowledge their right to be that way. They have a right to free speech, and that's why there's so many of them in the United States. It's because we do have a right to free speech here. You know, that is one of our greatest freedoms, the right to free speech. And the simple fact that this is some kind of negative, or it's included in statistics with other negative topics like fraud and cybercrime, there's no crime here. I don't know why this is even related. How is somebody exercising their free speech, whether you agree with it or not, exercising their right to free speech, how is that somehow even remotely related to cybercrime? That's what I didn't like. This is the biggest thing about the article that I did not like reading.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous.
Definitely. I mean, that's in the same basket as if they had made some statistics saying, like, oh, well, websites promoting hacking and, you know, stuff like that has risen 300%.
Right. I mean, they're just, I mean, all I want to say to that is, so?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. That's why I was like, what do you want me to say to that? I mean,
exactly.
Oh, that was my reaction.
So?
Thank God.
Exactly, I know what you mean. But you know what, the thing is, it just frustrates me that people have a problem where they think that because someone has a message or an idea or a thought process that's different from their own, that they are automatically wrong and they do not or should not have a right to say it. Let's ban it. Let's ban everything. That's our way in this country lately. Oh, he might be a terrorist. Let's pass laws to ban that. Oh, we can't let him fly. Let's pass a law against that. Oh, no, you can't do this. Oh, no, we're not going to allow you to have that freedom. Oh, you're not allowed to talk on this. Oh, you can't say these words on the airwaves anymore. You can't. Yeah, let's just keep banning stuff until we run out of stuff to ban. That's real fucking brilliant. Wow, I don't know where that one came from. I got worked up and didn't even know. I didn't feel that one coming. That came out of nowhere. But because I feel strongly about that. Seriously, what a...
I totally agree with you, Stank. Burn the book, brown shirt.
I need some me time now. I need some quiet time, calm down time. But you know what? I am going to take this opportunity to... We'll wrap up that topic. There were some other things in there that stood out, some other things that were interesting. I read the ones that really stood out that I really wanted to emphasize out of it. There were several other statistics. And you can search through the AP Press if you want to find this cybercrime. Where was it? Strasbourg, Strasbourg, France. Probably search with just that, you'll find it. I mean, what the hell else goes on in Strasbourg, France, anyway? Sorry if I offended anybody in Strasbourg, France. But you know what? Go eat some French fries or something. Anyway.
I don't know.
I'm just being funny. Shut up.
I'm sure their city's at least bigger than Guasi.
Yeah, well, you may be right. You know, I said this a minute ago, and I'm going to say it again. I don't know if this is crossing a line to corny or tacky or whatever, but I just want to say that since we are on this topic of cybercrime and we're talking about what's right and what's wrong and what should be and shouldn't be, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is, a crime is a crime. Okay? There are certain things that are universally not condoned, even by the hacker community. I know we're an interesting group of people, and we do have our own set of ethics. And our ethics sometimes do not coincide with what the government, the United States government, wants our ethics to be. They do not always coincide. And that, you know what? That's the case with every single human being on the face of the planet Earth, frankly. So, that being said, I myself and the DDP in general do not promote or condone crime of any kind. Never have, never will. Absolutely not. If you commit fraud, identity theft, things like that, this is a universal crime. if you are stealing money from an old lady, if you are trying to sell a laptop on eBay, getting someone's money and then not delivering the merchandise, that's fraud. If you steal somebody's credit card numbers and buy things with them, that is a crime. It has nothing to do with hacking. I hate hackers getting tied to that. Hackers steal your credit cards. Hackers committing fraud and identity theft. No, we're not. Thieves are. And I know we've said that a lot, and I'm not going to go into a big soapbox, but I wanted to come out and just say that officially. If you do these kind of things, you are going to get punished. You deserve to get punished. Some sort of punishment. Now, the level and severity of that punishment is a whole nother topic. Okay, but there is... You are going to get repercussions for the things that you do in life. And when you commit crimes, you can expect to do the time, to use a cliche. But if you do, you know, there are some crimes, like I said, the hacker community doesn't exactly see eye to eye with other people's morals and other people's ethics. If you dial a phone number, for example, even whether it's in rapid succession, automated, or something like that, that to me is not necessarily a crime. Some states or governments or whatever may view that as a crime, but to me, that's an educational pursuit. That's not a crime. That's learning how things work. That's figuring out patterns. That's trying to learn the system. Because Lord knows you're not going to learn the system from any textbooks. They don't make books on that kind of subject. You want to find out how your phone system works? You're going to have to figure that stuff out yourself. You're going to have to do a little freaking. Can I get an amen? You have to do a little freaking. You know, if you don't cause damage, if there's no damage caused, nothing gets stolen, nobody gets hurt, it's an educational pursuit. Where's the crime there? The crime of knowledge? That's a crime now? Knowledge is a crime?
You know what the crime is, Stink? you woke up some lady who all she does is she goes down to the welfare office and collects her check once a week. And she sleeps during the day, and now you woke her up because you were dialing every number in a prefix, and she didn't like it.
Well, boo fucking who. Take her phone off the hook.
Yeah, right.
If she doesn't like it, like we said earlier, if you get a call, you pick it up, you say hello, you don't like what you hear, you hang the fuck up. That's simple.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing these, you know, the example I was using earlier, war dialing, I was alluding to. You call it once and you're done anyway. You're not going to call back. You wanted to see what answered or who answered or if anybody answered. So it's just finding how much stuff's out there. It's a statistical analysis. How many phones have computers on them, fax machines, etc., etc. You know? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a fine line. If you do something with that number subsequently, if you commit a crime later with information you found anywhere in any way, shape, or form, that's a whole different area. That's crossing a line. If you commit a crime, yes. But the act of gathering knowledge and learning should not be criminalized. And it's a sad, sad thing that it is, that they're trying to make knowledge a crime. And it just makes me want to cry.
Okay, calm down, baby.
I'm getting verklempt. No, that's the thing. Law enforcement can't distinguish where that line is. That's the biggest problem. People don't get us as hackers. People don't get our mindset. And unfortunately, the people are in charge. The people are the ones that are... The people are the ones electing officials. The people are the man, you know, passing these laws against stuff like this in their ignorant way, not knowing or understanding what it's all about. And that's the biggest problem, is that law enforcement and our government can't distinguish where that line is. But you know what? Some hackers can't distinguish that line either. You know, some hackers cross the line, or at least they straddle that line. We come close to the line sometimes. So it's a two-way street. Don't, you know, I'm not sitting here saying it's all law enforcement's problem and that we should all be able to do whatever we want because it's on a computer in the interweb and therefore we can do all that. No, that's not the case either. I'm just saying that if you're going to pass laws, make acts and stuff like that.
Hello.
What's that?
And some people, they sometimes get a little bit greedy and they start committing crimes, but you know what? That's on them.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, and that leads to the last point, which, again, this could turn into a whole nother discussion and analysis. when you pass these laws and make these acts, I was getting saying, consider the nature of the action very closely. Was anybody hurt? What was the danger? What was caught? What was the crime? Was damage caused? Things like that. Okay? And look at it more open-mindedly and closely, and when you pass these things, don't make them so hardcore. You know, the punishment should fit the crime. You know?
Yep.
That's the other thing. If somebody's, you know, oh, somebody dialed you and woke you up in the middle of the daytime, big deal. We've got drug dealers that go out in the street, you know, days after they've been arrested. That punishment doesn't fit that crime. Of course, that's my opinion. I'm sure there's people out there that disagree with that. The druggies out there, I guess. But there are certain crimes where it doesn't fit. And for some reason, they lump us hackers in with terrorists, which is the biggest misconception ever, ever. And they try to throw the book at us and be all, you know, authoritative and, oh, no, you can't know more than I do. We're going to throw you in prison for 40 years and you can't touch a computer ever again. Okay, meanwhile, I think the message you're sending here is that I could sell drugs and be out in a week. Is that the message that we're getting here?
Yep, and you're sending these poor little, like, I mean, I don't mean to be stereotypical, but these, like, white, skinny kid hackers to prison.
I don't know if that's somewhat stereotypical, but, I mean, it's probably statistically true, let's be honest.
I'm just saying, I mean, if you're into technology and stuff, you probably don't spend most of your time on the streets, and you're probably not one who's going to want to fight people. So if you get thrown in prison,
federal,
you got a bunch of
federal,
yeah. But I'm talking about like a state prison for some local crime or something. If you get thrown into prison for something like this, and you got, and you're in there with like with violent criminals, you know, rapists and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's how
you're going to make friends with these guys. Is you're going to have to just sell them information so that when they get out, they can commit these type of crimes.
Yeah, that, you know, and that's, I know you're saying this is a joke, but that's a damn shame that to mention us in the same category with pedophiles and murderers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's just so wrong.
And the sad part is that those people will probably end up getting out of jail before you will.
Yeah, that's so wrong. That's just sad. That's just sad and pathetic.
Yep.
Well, let's end the show on sad and pathetic, shall we?
You're gonna survive in there. You're gonna have to give them something.
Don't go any further. Please don't go any further with that. Oh man, if you don't give it to them, they're gonna take it. Oh no, stop! Back up. Go to my happy place. I got a couple quick links I want to drop here, just because I've had them in the show notes for a while. Because I mentioned earlier the FC, I mentioned that little thing about telling us what we can and can't say on the airwaves and how they've got control and ban this and ban that and free speech and yada yada. So a couple links here that I've been meaning to mention. The FCC, right. There's a site to fight the FCC, somewhat for whatever that means. It's called SaveRadioNow.org. SaveRadioNow.org. Personally, again, I mean, I've said this before, I prefer to stay on internet radio. Fuck the FCC. You know, if they want to stop me from saying fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, bring your fight to me, bitches. I'm right here. Bring that shit to me. I don't have to play your game anymore. We have the internet. We beat you. We have a way around your system. Fuck you. Just thought I'd get that out there. That's going to get bleeped off in the radio version.
Oh.
And that site actually is the main, but it'll link to something called the FCC quiz. And it links off of Save Radio Now, but the direct link to it, if you want to go to it, is jacobsmedia.com, jacobsmedia.com/IQtest.htm. Or again, go to SaveRadioNow.org and just click through to it. I think the link is still there. And basically, it's a quiz that says, it gives you some scenarios and says, what can and can't they do? And it gives you some scenario. What if you say this? What if you're having a call-in prize show and you tell somebody they want $100 and they say, holy shit, I want $100? Can you get in trouble for that? And it has a bunch of scenarios of things like that. And the results are kind of interesting. Very interesting. So, that's it for the show this week. Shout-outs. I told you you could go first, so go ahead.
Okay, I want to give my shout-outs first to my main dog, Dual Parallel. I can't believe you were dissing him earlier before the show.
I was not. I was on the phone with my home dog.
Whatever, man. I heard you saying some foul stuff about Duel.
Yeah, because we roll like that, though.
God, you did not bark.
Yes, I did. That's my dog, because we can roll like that.
And I want to give my other shouts out to Doug, Decoder, and Not Theory, my homeboys right there.
Gotcha.
And, Yeah, that's all the shouts for this week. What about you?
Well, the same. Of course, I back those up completely. All my digital dogs. And just a funny little site I found made me laugh. I give shout-outs to illwillpress.com. They have a cartoon with Foamy as the main character, and it's hilarious. Go to illwillpress.com. You'll be laughing for a while from that one. Sarcastic little squirrel that kind of reminds me of me, I guess, in a way, so... Shout-outs to them. A reminder, this Friday, 2600 meetings. Go to your local 2600 meeting, DEF CON meeting, whatever you call your hackers meeting, whatever it happens to be, go to it this Friday, first Friday of the month. So your October meeting is coming up this week. Email us for feedback, radio@benrev.com, if you want to tell us to whatever. Anyway, feedback of any kind, send it to radio@benrev.com. Our closing music this week is a track called Dirtbag in the Vacuum Remix. It's a song from Brad Sucks that was remixed by Heuristics, Inc. Kind of a different spin on a song of his. And I like it a lot, so we're going to close with that. And to the Double Deuce.
Yep.
Thank you for being on the show. As always, it was fun. Very off the cuff and stuff that definitely was unscripted.
That's definitely true.
As usual, and you know what? Sometimes it's good radio, sometimes it's bad radio. But either way, we'll try to do it again next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace.